I once heard a story of a sainted old mother who had lived out her life here on earth. As she lay on her deathbed, her friends gathered round her, and these were the last words she said. Oh, look what I'm trading for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Oh, look who will be there to greet me when I step in God's sweet paradise. I'm leaving behind all my sorrows. I'm leaving behind all my cares, for I'm trading it all for a mansion has gone to prepare.
Her hands were so feeble, her voice was so low, but she still had a smile on her face. She said, Lord, I hear singing, oh, they're waiting just for into heaven and said,
oh, look what I'm trading for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Oh, look who will be there to step in God's sweet paradise. I'm leaving behind all my sorrows. I'm leaving behind all my cares, for I'm trading it all for a mansion
Father, the Bible can only stick to the heart that is open. The Bible can only make its way into the heart that opens wide its feelings and emotions, that turns its mind loose to hear nothing but God. Father, close every mind to the things of the world, the troubles, the discouragements, the doubts, the darkness, and open our minds and our hearts to hear nothing but God, nothing but the Holy Ghost. 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 Open our hearts to hear nothing but the Holy Ghost. Don't you love him? Don't you love him, Carlos? Hallelujah. Don't you love him, saints of God? My dear brother from Nigeria, we love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody's got to get acquainted with that, dear brother. Hallelujah. We're so glad he's part of us. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be part of you too. Hey, and brother Dylan preached wonderful Wednesday night. How many enjoyed brother Dylan's sermon Wednesday night? You know why some of you can't raise your hand? Because you won't hear. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Stretch your hand toward Brother Lindsay, would you? Brother, can call his name. What's wrong with me? Hallelujah. I'm saving it for the sermon. Stretch your hand toward Brother Buck. Will you, Father, we pray for Brother Lindsay. Let virtue flow through his body. Give him a miracle, Lord. Give him a miracle, Lord. Give him the miracle, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's the best excuse I ever come up with for forgetting something. Wasn't that a good one? Hallelujah. Isn't God good to us? I love you, church. I love you, church. Open your Bible now. I've got a message from the Lord. I've got a message from the Lord. I dare not preach until the Holy Ghost gives me a message. Sometimes he does it early and sometimes he doesn't do it early. That's up to his Holy Spirit. Oh, but I love the Word of God. Go to the book of St. John. The book of St. John, chapter 10. I want to read, if I might, and you won't mind, 10 verses. St. John 1 through 10. And I'm preaching this morning on Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to help us to get something out of this sermon this morning that will change and affect your life. I believe that with all my heart. I pray for that in the name of the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. I don't think this generation understands this great truth, even as that generation did not. And Jesus said it. But this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And already said that they that enter not in by the door is false. And he was implying very powerfully in that first two verses that he was the door. But now he says it even more clearly. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Hey, you got to hear that one. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the door. Father, add your anointing to your servant's lips this morning. Let fire fill this house and affect us in such a manner that we will be more like you when this message is over. And that there will be a new excitement, a new thrill to the things of the Lord. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Jesus saith, I am the door. Now there's seven times in the book of John that Jesus says, I am. And then adds to it a description of who he is. each of these seven great, masterful statements, I mean incredible statements, give us a picture of the character and the divine nature of the Son of God. First he says, I am the bread of life. Then he says, I am the light of the world. Then he says, I am the door. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. Then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Those seven statements are breathtaking. You dig into them for a few days. I've been doing that. And they stir you to the core. They stir you to the core to realize what and who Jesus really is. And all of them are great. Every one of them is the meat making of a great sermon. A great sermon. But this one is special to me this morning. I am the door, Jesus said. Now, you understand what a door is. Every part of your life is connected with a door. You go in a door when you go to work. You go in a door when you go home. You go in a door when you go to the bedroom for a night of rest. You go in a door when you go to the store to buy your victuals. You go in a door when you go to pay for your gas. I mean, just everything of your life includes a door. Everything. And not only are doors good for what they let you in, doors are good for what they keep out. We forget that a door doesn't just let us into something, it keeps something out of us. Your mind is a door where you let things in and you keep things out. Your mind is a door, an opening, an entrance. That's what a door is, an entrance, an opening, a way into, a way to protect. That's the two purposes of a door. A door is to let you in and to keep out that which is not supposed to come in. Your mind must be that kind of a door. You must be able to let the words of God flow in. Let the truth of God flow in. Let the love of others, you know, touch your heart and fill you with compassion and concern. Your life is a door. And it must have a closer as well as an opener. And God grant us to understand the door this morning. Now, Jesus says, I am the door. Notice the first two words, I am. Notice that, I am. Just say the two words, I am. Look at the ring of those words. Look at the authority in those words. Did you know that Abraham never knew the name of God, though he served him faithfully? And Isaac never knew the name of God, though he was one of the patriarchs. And Jacob never knew the name of God, though he was a devoted follower. And Joseph, that grandson of a great-great-grandson of Abraham, never knew the name of God. Here they are. They've been in Egypt over 400 years. And Moses has left Egypt some 40 years earlier. He's been out in the backside of a desert, and I presume preparing himself for what God had in mind. And one day there's a burning bush. It's burning, but it isn't being consumed. And Moses turned aside to see the sight and heard a voice saying, take off thine shoes. For the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. And so Moses in bare feet walked as close to that burning bush as he could walk. And he heard the great voice of God Almighty. And God commissioned him, commanded him, and prepared him to send him into Egypt to set his children free. Moses loved the message, but Moses is a bit concerned. And he says, now God, I mean, God's talking to Moses. They're having fellowship together. And God's telling him some things. And Moses stopped the conversation and said, God, I want to know your name. When I go into Egypt, I need to tell them who sent me. Hey, there's a lot of gods. Egypt had many gods. And so Moses wanted the name of the real God, the true God. And you know what God told him? God told him, you tell the Pharaoh, I am that I am have sent you. I am that I am have sent you. The greatest, the most majestic, the most intellectual, the highest form of a name for God, Jehovah, is the name I am. Do you hear me? The name I am. That's a name that stretches the old mind and is impossible to comprehend. That's a mind that stretches the heart and gives you the sense of greatness. I am. I am. And so Jesus uses it 7 times in the book of John. And this time it's I am the door. I am the door. Now, I love this thought of him being the door. Because I want to tell you, the first and wonderful thing about this door, it is the only entranceway into forgiveness and cleansing on the face of this earth. You can walk into this door, the ugliest, the most grievous, the darkest, the most miserable, the most hellish, the most godless. You can walk in this door if you mean business, and if the Holy Ghost has opened it to you, and you can come in a raw, wicked sinner and be transformed and turn inside out, upside right, and be made a new creature, because this door is the door into forgiveness. But it's not just a door into forgiveness, it's a door into cleansing. He don't just forgive you, he cleanses you. Are you listening to me? He cleanses you. He makes a new creature out of you. Could I kind of start the sermon this morning with a memory in my bank, in my mind? I remember when we were worshiping in that little gymnasium down here at the Tuckasegee School. I remember we had lost our $5 million campus because the denomination, the Church of God, had basically stolen it from us. And we, without anything but our faith, moved out and moved into that gymnasium to worship and praise God until he gave us a building, which is that building over behind us. And it was beautiful. But I remember something taking place in that building that I don't think I've ever told in my life. I don't remember if I ever did. One Sunday morning, we were having great church. Now, the Lord was just moving through that building. And a lady and her husband, well, no, not her husband. They were living together. A lady and her boyfriend. He was the son of Sister C. Wright. And they had walked into that building that morning. And I think they'd been maybe 3 or 4 times before this. And that morning, we hit the altars, all of us. And we were standing around that altar, and we were worshiping. And the glory of God was in that house. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, that couple, you're watching them, and you're concerned. They're living together. They're not married. They're not saved. But they're acting like they are. They're really showing religion big time. And they were. And the Holy Ghost said, so you go and stop them. See, this is what's got me in trouble through the years. These kind of things. So I go over very gently and no fanfare. I doubt anybody in this building even remember it happening. I really don't think people knew it. And I said to them, hey, young folks, I love y'all. It's so good to have you here. But y'all are not even saved. You're living together and not married. And here you're acting like you're saved. You're acting like Christians. I can't let you do that. I'm a pastor. I can't allow you to be hypocritical. I can't allow you to act like you're religious when you're not. And they humbly listened. They didn't get angry. Maybe the husband a little bit, but not much. And they quietened down, and we had church, and she got wonderfully saved. That wife got saved. If you remember her, she was a darling person. She was as sweetheart as she could be. She had, I don't know how many children, several. They were by different men. She had lived a life of prostitution. She had lived a life of sin. And now she's living with this particular young man. And you know, the world has told him, it's okay, you know. You don't have to worry about it. Just keep on doing what you're doing. He'll save you and let you keep on doing what you're doing. Well, I don't believe that. And I know that isn't true. Yesterday, a lady called my wife on the phone, and she said, I was baptized last Sunday, and right behind me, or right before me, and I don't remember which it was, there was a couple that were also baptized, and I happen to know them, and they're living together, and they're not even married, and yet the pastor is baptizing them, and she wanted to know, well, what to do. Well, I don't know all that my wife said, but my wife dealt with it, but that's the state of our world. That's the condition of our world. Well, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to be part of that. And so I said to her, you can't act religious. Now just put your hands down. And their hands fell to their side. And they stood there. And we all worshiped and kept on having church. I did it quietly. I did not embarrass them. But she got wonderfully saved. He got wonderfully mad. Because she got wonderfully saved. And there was no more going to bed with him. There was no more fornication in that house. I'm going to tell you, she got saved, and she really did get saved, and it was beautiful. And then he got saved. And then they came to the altar one Sunday morning after the preacher, and I married them. And I see them occasionally. They're still serving God across town, you know, going to a church that's a holiness church and loving the Lord because Jesus changed their life. You see, that's what he's out to do. That's what this door is. It's a door into forgiveness. But it's not just a door into forgiveness. It's a door into cleansing. He makes a new creature out of you. He washes your sins away. If you could understand that this door is a door into purity. It's a door into holiness. It's a door into happiness. It's a door into transformation. It's a door into the new birth. Oh, how God. Can you imagine? Somebody raise your hand and say hallelujah. Some of you were there. I said some of you were there. Some of you, I'm not mean like that particular couple. I'm not after preaching to nobody, but everybody, only to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to tell you, he can take a sinner, and it doesn't matter how wicked and how godless, and he'll make them as clean as if they had never sinned. How many remember when he made you as though you had never sinned? When he made you as though you had never sinned, he washed those sins away. See, that's not the message of this church world. The message of this church world is he'll forgive you, and you won't be perfect, you know. I see a bumper sticker occasionally. It says, I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. Well, I agree, I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. But that's not what that bumper sticker is out to say. It's out to say, hey, don't worry about your sins. Just be grateful you're saved. Well, I got a message for you. He wants to change you. He wants to cleanse you. This is the door into purity. This is the door into holiness. This is the door into righteousness. And I still rejoice over that precious couple who got so wonderfully saved because a pastor was not willing to let them be hypocritical. A pastor had to tell them the truth. How many of you want the truth like that? Let me see your hand. Would you raise it high if you want the truth like that? Oh, I'm telling you, church, we got to preach to people the truth today. We got to tell them that this door that Jesus represents is not a door to come in and get religious. It's a door to be born again. It's a door to be transformed. It's a door to be changed into the wonderful, wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a door. It's a door into a successful and happy life. Now, I want you to take those two words, successful and happy. You know, you can be successful without being happy. Did you know that? And you can actually be happy without being greatly successful. But if you're going to put the two together, And you're going to be successful and be happy in your success. There's a door to let you in where you can have both success and you can have happiness. And that's what Jesus is all about. He doesn't just make you successful. He doesn't just give you great riches. He doesn't just give you religion. He makes you successful and he makes you happy and full of peace and full of joy while you're being successful. A door into success and happiness. I like that. I really do. I like that. And then it's a door into becoming sons and daughters of God. You understand that this Christian life is not just a club. This Christian life is not just some organization of like-minded people who get together and enjoy just being with one another. This Christian life is not just a profession of religion that gives you a leverage on telling people you're a Christian. This wonderful door lets you into the family of God. Hallelujah. It's the door of walking in to the family of God. Hallelujah. It's the door that makes you a son of the eternal one and a daughter of the glorious one and a part of a wonderful family, a part of a family of people who've been transformed, who are new creatures, who've been saved, who've been changed. It's a door into sonship. It's a door into the joy of being part of a huge heavenly family. Hallelujah. Heavenly family. Do you understand? Do you understand what a joy it is to be part of this family? I wouldn't trade the family of God for nothing on the face of this earth. I am a child of the King. I've got royal blood that's coursing through my veins. I've got a heritage in the heavens that's forever. I've got a peace of God that my sins are gone. Where are they, Brother Chambers? Underneath the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me again. Hallelujah. I'm saved by the blood. I'm saved by the blood. I'm written down in the family of God. The door I walked in named Jesus has made me a child of the King. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm part of a royal family. I got blood coursing through my veins. Hallelujah. That's undeniable and incorruptible and eternal. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and worship God if you've been in this door. Hallelujah. Have you come in this door? Have you come in this door? Hallelujah. Have you come in this door? It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful life. No wonder Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. There is no other. There is no other entrance way. And it's a door. And it's a door that keeps an enemy out. Hell is a door that keeps the enemy out. Let me tell you something. Listen to me now. Every one of you have the right, when the devil comes to the door of your life, you can stop him at the door or you can let him in. But he can't let himself in. There is no handle on the devil's side of the door. I want you to hear that now, and I want you to take it home with you. There is no handle on the devil's side of the door into your life. There is no handle. There's a lock and key, but it's all on the inside, and it's in your hands and your control. And there's a door into your life the devil cannot come through. He cannot master his way in. He can't beat the door down and get in, but you can let him in. And I've closed the door, and I've locked it, and I threw the keys away. I threw the keys away. Go on, keys. Someone shout hallelujah. A door. And Jesus is the door. The door is an eternal creator of the universe. The door is the one that hung the sun in his place and made the moon and the stars and put every bit of bodies up there. He's the great one. He gave the green to the forest and the blue to the sky. Hallelujah. He made everything gorgeous. He is a beauty to a rose. He gives a fragrance to a lily. He is a God of creation. I love him. Do you? The door. Somebody shout aloud, he's the door. Now, he's the door to heaven. He's the door to that matchless city called heaven. He's the door to New Jerusalem. He's the door to streets of gold. He's the door to ivory palaces and pearly walls. He's the door to majesty and eternity. He's the door to everlasting life. Do you understand what he's the door to? No wonder he said, I'm the door. There's no other way into heaven but the door. He's the door that's locked, if you will let it, to keep you out of hell. If you don't know this door, then hell is your eternal destiny. But if you've been saved, hallelujah, there's a locked door between you and hell. There's a locked door between you and hell, Marlon. There's a locked door between you and hell, Mama dear. There's a locked door. There's a locked door. Hallelujah. And that door is named Jesus. Don't you love that? Jesus, the door. Say it with me. Jesus, the door. Jesus, the door of life. Now, all of that's beautiful. I love everything I've said. I do. I love it. I love to preach. I rather preach than eat. I got banana pudding at my house. Sister Sylvia, I got banana pudding in my house. But I'd rather preach than eat Yvonne's banana pudding. And that's no rebuke to Yvonne, because she's a cook and a half. Oh, man. But I don't know a lady around here that's not. Yes, that can. And that's not part of my sermon. Boy, can you tell that I get a little selfish sometimes? A little carnal? Hallelujah. A little carnal? That Amy is a cook, brother. I've been waiting to get invited to her house, and she's putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. No, maybe that's not it. Hallelujah. Listen, church. Listen. Listen. Jesus is the door. But I want you to go to Hebrews. I'm going to show you something about this door that overwhelmed me this morning. I was sitting in here by myself, and I was shouting. I was screaming. I thought maybe Joseph would hear me, but if he did, he didn't tell me. I mean, I was just so happy. I was overwhelmed with this. I mean, remember now, Jesus is the door. He said, I am the door. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Now, let me hold it there. Through what? The veil. Do you know what a veil is in the temple of God in heaven? The veil is a covering of a door, a covering of an entranceway. And so Paul is telling us that Jesus is the door into this place he's fixing to talk about. Now, I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm overwhelmed to know that Joe Chambers, 64 years a Christian, and I'm just like the rest of you. I'm grateful that the Bible makes it plain that we all were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We all had an ugly past. I don't think anybody in here that didn't have some ugly about your past. Maybe my wife is one that didn't, and maybe a few more of you saintly ones that didn't. But I want to tell you something. Sin was in my past, but praise God. Now I've got an entrance way into the heavens of heavens, to the holy of holies, to the majestic presence of the great King and the great God. Now, I got to show you something this morning. This got a hold of me last night. My, what a joy. Have you ever studied the tabernacle in the wilderness or the great temple in Jerusalem? There was three parts of that temple. There was the outer court, and there was a veil that you had to go through to get into the outer court. And then there was a holy place. And there was a veil that separated the outer court from the holy place. And then there was the great veil. The great veil that separated the holy place from the holies of holies. I got to reading that last night, and I got to studying, and I got to digging. And I grabbed my phone and called Joel Yates. I said, Joel, he started talking. I said, quit talking, listen to me. I didn't want to hear nothing. I wanted him to help me with that, and then I wanted to get off because I didn't want to lose my connection. And I said, am I right in saying that outer court is where the saved person enters? He said, that's right. I said, there's a place to wash your feet and wash your hands when you come into that outer court, isn't it? He said, yes, there is. And he said, that lava where you wash your hands and wash your feet has a golden covering at the bottom. So that when you come in there and you look in there to wash your hands, you see yourself. Because God wants you to know who you are and what you are when you get in there and begin to wash your hands. You go in that outer court and you wash your hands and you wash your feet, and you can't go any further until you wash your hands and wash your feet. That's being saved. That's being born again. That's where you get rid of your sins. I said, now, Joseph, listen to me. Joe Yates, listen to me. When you go from the outer court into the holy place, that's like sanctification. He says, that's exactly what I preach. And that's what I heard preached all my life as a young lad. When you go from the outer court into the inner court or to the holy place, that's being sanctified. That's being set apart. That's being made holy and pure and cleansed before God. He said, that's exactly what it is. I said, Brother Joe, why haven't you preached it? He said, I have. I said, you never preach it to me? I said, I ain't never heard it before, but the Holy Ghost told me a little bit ago. He said, that's wonderful, Brother Chambers, but that's right. I said, now when you leave the holy place and you go through that next door, that it's a veil, but it's a door. Oh, you understand? You go through the next place, that's where you get the Holy Ghost. He said, that's exactly what I believe, Brother Chambers. He said, that was the Holy God showing us in that temple in which they built a little shadow of in the wilderness and a perfected, beautiful part of it in Jerusalem, but nothing like the heavenly. He said, that's what it is. It's a picture of being saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, I want to live in that Holy of Holies where the Holy Ghost is sovereign and mighty. And there's a door. In every case, that door is a type of Jesus. You understand that, Brother Danny? And when Jesus was crucified, are you listening to me? When Jesus was crucified, when the door was being crucified, when the door was hanging on the cross and dying for the sins of the world, there was this mighty and wonderful hand that reached over there in Jerusalem where that temple was and stripped that veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies from the top to the bottom and became an open door. I am the door. You need the Holy Ghost. He's the door. You need to be sanctified. He's the door. You need to be saved. He's the door. You want communion with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. He's the door. And I have fallen in love with him all over again. Holy, hallelujah. Somebody just raise your hand and love him and worship him just a moment and praise him just a little bit. He's the door. I said, he's the door into the outer court, and he's the door into the inner court, and he's the door into the holies of holies. And that holy of holies is now open to every one of us because the angel or the Holy Spirit reached over to Jerusalem and ripped it from top to the bottom. There's a door opened for you into the presence of a holy God. Now, I wonder if you'll just raise your hand a minute and just say way down deep in yourself, I've got to get closer to where I can enter in that inner door into the holiness. I am so glad. The Old Testament is such an example. It is a perfect picture. There is nothing in that temple that wasn't a type of salvation. There's nothing in that priesthood that wasn't a type of salvation. There was nothing in all those ordinances and laws that wasn't a type of salvation. This Bible is Jesus from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Do you hear me? This Bible is an open door from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's a story of a door, and his name was Jesus, and he's come to save the world from their sins and to change their lives. Now, I want to talk to you about consecration. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I think you've heard that from weeks. Haven't you heard it from weeks from me? And I see it in you too, Marlon, and I see it in others. There's a hunger. And the beautiful picture of it, there's a door. And so you don't just have to be hungry. You can go in. I want you to say it with me. Jesus is the door. And I can go in to everything he's got. Come on, say it. Jesus is the door, and I can go in by Jesus to everything he's got. And the old devil can't get in. He can't touch you. There's no latch on his side of the door. I never said that before, but I sure do like it. Hallelujah. There's no latch on his side of the door. Hallelujah. I can let him in, but I ain't going to let him in. Hallelujah. How many of you have locked the door from the inside and threw the key away? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. See, you'll never backslide when you throw the key away. Hallelujah, Brother Jackie. What a God we serve. And Jesus said, I am the door. I got to read two more verses because you got to get this picture. I'm so thrilled to think that Jesus is this veil and he is this door. And John said, Paul said it so powerfully, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Notice, that is to say, his flesh. Do you get that? So there's no doubt. That veil is Jesus. That veil is Jesus. That door is Jesus. That entranceway is Jesus. Hallelujah. Now verses 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Full assurance, a true heart. How many of you this morning can say my heart is absolutely true toward Jesus? Stand up. I want you to stand. My heart. Now I want you to take your right hand. And I want you to proclaim that an expression of your heart. An expression of your mind. An expression of your interest. An expression of your devotion. And I want to raise it as high as you can get it. And say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, you are the door that I am going to start enjoying. I am going to quit being lazy. I'm going to quit wondering if I'm going to be healed. This door is a door into divine healing. Are you hearing me? This door is a door into divine healing. There is nothing you need that's not on the other side of this door. There's nothing that your life is desperate for that's not on the other side of this door. There's nothing, nothing, nothing. That's not a promise in that Bible that this door doesn't open directly into that promise. Hear me, saith God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Jesus is that door. And there is no promise of my Bible that's not on the other side of that door. There is nothing that I have, that I've created, that I've made, that I've promised, that's not available to you. But you've got to go through the door. In Jesus' name is all yours, saith the Father. Now raise your hand and thank him. In Jesus' name, it's all yours, said the Father. You can be healed right now. You can be healed right now. You can be healed, but you got to go through that door, and you got to quit waiting on the other side. You don't get healed in a rocking chair. You get healed on your feet, claiming the promise of God. I want everything God's got. How about you? I preach to you from my heart this morning. I preach to you from my heart this morning. With all that's inside of me, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Sister Yvette and Brother Gans, would y'all come and sing that for me? Sister Yvette and Brother Joseph, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I want you standing right there, and I want you to lift your hand toward him. Toward him. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. How many believe that? Would you sing it with us? Come on.
Helped me walk up the mile.